the Midnight Radio Network, Eric Harley, Gary McNamara, and you. 800-288-9227. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Ask the Law. It is Ask the Law for April 6, 2009, live with Senior Trooper Monty Dial, retired of the Texas Highway Patrol. Ask the Law brought to you by Old Blue USA. And all of us here, the Midnight Radio Network, so get on board and remember that your questions and answers are up to date as of this date, April 6, 2009. Not April 16th yet. I know this because it's not tax day yet. You can always send your emails to askthelaw.org, askthelaw.org. Your answers, by the way, this morning from Trooper Monty Dial can change without notice. Gary, how are you?
Real, real good.
Okay, so we got the coughing, the hacking, and the wheezing, and everything else. I don't know. Trooper Dial, welcome to the program. How are you? You're not sick, are you?
Oh, no.
No. Okay. All right. I'm not sick either yet. Gary complained of a fever. You were running a fever. Is that right?
Yeah. Huh? Mm-hmm.
You okay?
Yeah, no sleep, and yeah. We got lots to do tomorrow.
We do.
It's a 40th anniversary here.
Yeah, 40th anniversary. We're going to throw out the first pitch there at Texas.
Yeah, no way.
Rangers game. We're not going to do that.
I won't be awake. Yeah. I will be asleep then.
Yeah. By the way, either one of us could probably do as well as their pitching staff. I'm just saying, don't send me an email. 800-288-9227.
I'm hearing a lot of hope. Yeah, 800-288-9227. Or you can always text us at 68683.
That's right. Send us a text if you don't want to wait online. If you get to somewhere safe, pull over the truck, or if you're already there now, 68683. Just put Eric or Gary on the text when you send it. And if you've got a question from Trooper Dial, that's a quick way to get your question through, by the way. Again, text us at 68683. Or you can get on board at 800-288-9227. We do have a limited number of pair of Justin Original work boots for CDL holders. While supplies last this morning at 800-288-9227. If you want to get on board or text us at 68683. Trooper Dial, I think, first of all, a recap of the Mid-America show for you. You weren't there this
year.
But it was busier than expected, not as busy as years past. It was down a little bit, but it was up beyond expectations because I think a lot of drivers were there looking for work. I don't know if you've talked to any of your former cohorts there on the street. Are they, what I'm wondering is if they're seeing a lower number of trucks on the road. Have you heard that from anybody? The fact of the matter, there are some number of trucks that have come off of the road. I just don't know if it's been in this region. Have you heard any talk like that?
No, not really. The guys that I still talk with back at the office, they're still just as busy as they were.
Yeah, but you frankly, Texas has been kind of shorthanded for quite some time.
Oh, yes.
For commercial vehicle enforcement.
Right.
So you guys would probably remain busy in just about any economic situation.
And, of course, with us being in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, we're always going to have more local traffic than, get some of the guys out further east, north,
right.
South, or west.
Right.
And that depend a lot on interstate traffic. Here, the guys who work in the metropolitan areas,
right.
There's never a shortage of work for us.
Right. A lot of the talk has been on the Mexican truck situation since we last met. We, by the way, do this every first Monday, drivers, at 800-288-9227 if you want to get on board. It seems that this has been essentially a political game because as soon as they scrapped the funding for the current Mexican truck program, they came back and said, we're working hard to come up with a new Mexican truck program. So it really isn't about keeping Mexican trucks or legal Mexican workers out of the United States. It has been about, serving everyone's need or concern
political interest
Well, political interest, yeah, beyond, yeah, at the very least. I even read some comments from the Teamsters and some of the groups who stood against the original program, but seem a little more gung-ho about it now. Any talk from Washington? Have you heard anything from your contacts as to what that would look like? What is it from your perspective?
I really don't see what the big brouhaha is about.
Mm-hmm. During the original Mexican truck project or pilot project, were they or were they not inspecting every Mexican truck at the border? That's what we were told, that they were going to inspect every Mexican truck at the border.
What had to happen, and first off, let me say this. A lot of people were opposed to the fact that they were coming across.
Mm-hmm.
They were claiming that it was losing jobs. Me being involved in law enforcement, we never took that position.
Mm-hmm.
Our position was, here's the rules that they have to play by. And as long as those trucks play by the rule, then they will be allowed entrance into the United States to operate on our highway.
Right.
Every truck that crossed the border, if it did not have a current CVSA decal on the truck and the trailer, then it was inspected. If it was not inspected and it entered into the United States, if it was stopped by law enforcement at roadside, it was immediately put out of service until the inspector took the time to do an inspection and place a current CVSA decal on the tractor and the trailer.
Right.
So once they crossed the border, if they did not have a current decal on the truck and the trailer, they were dead in the water.
Mm-hmm.
And they sat there. So us in law enforcement, that was what we were trained to do. If we see one, he's got to have the decal. If he doesn't, shut him down, park him, and when you can get some other guys to come in and help you do the inspection,
mm-hmm.
because Texas will not let us do a level one by ourselves. We
right.
had to have at least two or three people there.
Right.
The truck sat there until we could find somebody else.
Mm.
That's what we were looking at. The other OOIDA, the Teamsters, the senators that got involved in this, obviously they were looking at it from a different standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
My question was, I don't know
how you get any safer than that pilot project if indeed they were looking at every truck that was coming through.
By the way, I don't
support the Mexican truck program, but my concern is that we've done away with the funding for it, and now they're coming up with something new, and I don't know how it would be any different.
I don't either. You know, the program that FMCSA put in place was the safest that was available
mm-hmm.
at the time.
Right.
I don't know how they can go back and modify it and
right.
make it any safer
right.
than what it is.
Right. Yeah, I don't see it. 800-288-9227. You want to get through? Please do. 800-288-9227 or text us 68683. Put Eric or Gary on that text. Again, 68683. If you are somewhere where you can safely send us a text, we would love to hear from you. We understand that you can't always hold on the phone in order to go on the air. But if you would like to, we do have a limited number of pair of Justin Original Work Boots up for grabs this morning for random callers with a CDL at 800-288-9227. So we'd like to hand out some more boots if you'd like to get on board. It is Ask the Law. We're going to get right to your questions here in just a moment.
On the Midnight Radio Network.
It's the Midnight Radio Network. Again, 800-288-9227 or text 68683.
It's the Midnight Radio Network, 800-288-9227. Eric Carly, Gary McNamara, and Ask the Law, 800-288-9227. You can text us at 68683 and just put Gary or Eric as your first word, and it will go to one of us.
You bet. And get on board at 800-288-9227. This is Ask the Law for April 6, 2009. We are here with retired senior trooper Monty Dial of the Texas Highway Patrol, brought to you by Old Blue USA. Answers are up to date as of April 6, 2009. Can change without notice. Let's get to your calls at 800-288-9227.
Let's go to David. David, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network. Welcome. Hi. You're on Ask the Law.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
Yeah, I had a question about my concealed handgun permit that I hold out of Florida. I realize that Texas reciprocates for Florida on the concealed handgun permit, but I came out here, I'm going to be out here for 8 or 10 months working, and they made, the company I'm working for had me go get a Texas driver's license, and I had to turn in my Florida driver's license. So I'm wondering now, is my Florida concealed weapon permit still good?
Wow. Yes, it is, because it is issued to you by the state of Florida, and it will remain in effect as long as you are a permanent resident of Florida.
But since I gave up my Florida driver's license and got a Texas driver's license, doesn't that make me a resident of Texas now?
As long as you still have your mail sent to the Florida address.
Okay. Well, I've had most of my mail start sent here, but I do get some mail. You know, my tax returns and all that goes to Florida.
Is your home in Florida?
Yes, I have a home in Florida.
That's what I'm saying. You know, Florida is still your permanent resident, even though the company chose to have you obtain a Texas driver's license. The fact is, your permanent resident is still in Florida.
All righty, then. That's all I needed to know.
All right. Well, thank you very much. We appreciate that. And in the same line, we've got a text from Keith in Missouri, and he says, are truckers able to carry a concealable firearm if they have a valid permit?
Yes, unless the company that he works for prohibits any of their employees from carrying a concealed handgun in the commercial vehicle.
And you must be in a state that reciprocates with your home state's laws. Right?
That is correct.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Keith. We do appreciate that. 800-288-9227 if you'd like to get on board. I think that over the years has been probably one of the most, I don't know, debated questions,
yes,
really. It's not that it's a heated question, but a lot of drivers believe that they are not allowed to, that there is a federal law prohibiting firearms inside a vehicle.
That is correct. And I've been at a lot of the truck shows, people have come up and I've told them, said, look, here's the big green book. You take as long as you want to look in the big green book, and you're not going to find anything in there.
It's not in there.
Will drivers come up and debate that with you, though?
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're wrong, Trooper Dial. You don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, they said, you know, in the book it says I can't do it. I said, here's the book. You take as long as you want to, but I'll give you a heads up. You're not going to find it anywhere
right
in there.
Yeah, it's not there. 800-288-9227. If you want to send us a text, you can do so. Very simple. 68683. Put Eric or Gary on the text, and it will come to one of us. 800-288-9227. Speaking of which, and of course, we want to make sure that if you're sending a text, make sure that you're pulled over safely and that you do so only in the safest of conditions. But there are a lot of, speaking of this technology, there's a lot of states that are looking at the continued bans on cell phones. Most areas now are at least looking, if they haven't implemented a law that regulates cell phone usage within a school zone, even in right here in our immediate area. And there's a lot of areas now that are looking at a statewide ban of cell phone usage. Any news on that front as to where that's headed? There was some talk here recently, we don't think it's ever going to happen, but in the state of Texas even, that they were looking at even the hands-free headsets would be banned. Have you heard anything from the state of Texas?
No, I pulled from time to time. I'll log on to the Texas legislators' website and pull stuff up on bills that are being introduced and so on and so forth. In the last two or three sessions, there's always been some legislator has written a bill and introduced it to prohibit the use of a cell phone while you're driving.
Right.
But every year it always dies because lack of support.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's that much of an interest in passing a statewide ban on the use of cell phones.
Right. It gets into a situation where if we're going to invent this technology that allows us to safely maneuver the highway and, you know, with hands-free headsets, and still, be able to either conduct business or take a phone call, I think Gary's right on this. I don't ever see this coming to fruition. I think a lot of states will start to draw that line. We've seen a lot of legislation that comes out of, you know, emotional situations surrounding accidents or whatever it may be. A lot of these legislators may be from those areas where those accidents occur, and then take on this legislation. But it just, to me, I think we have to draw the line with inherent risks and going overboard. Because there's a lot of distractions, as you already know, inside the cabs of trucks and cars. We'll get back with Trooper Monty Dial here in just a few minutes. It is Ask the Law for April 2009, and your calls and texts on the way
on the Midnight Radio Network. It's the Midnight Radio Network, 800-288-9227, or you can text us at 68683.
Get on board for Ask the Law. Retired senior trooper Monty Dial from the Texas Highway Patrol is here, courtesy of Old Blue USO in the Old Blue USA.
USO.
I don't know that he's entertaining the troops, and frankly, I don't know that I want to see RJ entertaining the troops. Old Blue USA, you can go to their website, askthelaw.org, anytime and submit your questions. Just remember that the questions that are given here to Trooper Dial and the answers in response are up to date as of April 6, 2009. They can change without notice. AskTheLaw.org is the website. So get on board at 800-288-9227. You can also text us at 68683. Put Eric or Gary on the text so we get it. And let's get to you. In fact, if you want to get on board, we have we have a few pair of Justin Original work boots that we'll be handing out to random callers that are CDL holders this morning. So
one thing for you, Monty. A police captain in Pennsylvania's Lehigh Valley says it's the highest fine he's ever seen on a traffic ticket, $37,554.54. The truck driver got the ticket for a major violation that was not getting the superload permit that was needed because the truck was hauling a 213,000-pound steel cylinder.
Wow. He didn't have a permit.
Didn't have the permit.
Wow.
And there are a lot of states that the fine is based upon the amount of weight that they are over.
So it's per pound.
Per pound.
And this guy obviously was way over.
Right.
Wow.
So
213,000 pounds?
213,000-pound steel cylinder.
Yeah. And he probably didn't have a permit, so they cut him back to 80,000 pounds.
Yeah. And then from there.
From there. Everything above that, you know, do the math and the cost per pound.
Wow. I thought the tomatoes were outrageous. 800-288-9227 if you want to get on board.
Let's go to Brian. Brian, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network and you're on Ask the Law. Hi, Brian. Hello, Brian.
Oh, hold on.
Brian, are you there?
There we are. Hi, Brian. Hello, Brian. And hello, Brian. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Right. Well, I think the problem was on our end, Brian. Go ahead.
Oh, I just want to say, first of all, I enjoy your show, and I always look forward to the first Sunday of the month for for Trooper Dow to come on it. I really enjoy him.
Well, thank you. Thanks.
Yeah, he's well welcomed on my part of town. But I wanted to ask a couple of questions right quick. One was, is there any new laws? I know there is. I've heard them, that on emissions for trucks. And two, what's the law as far as when you're being pulled over by a law enforcement agent, and especially state troopers in the state of Texas, as far as staying in your vehicle with all the things going on with, California shooting a couple weeks ago, and that motorcycle cop, those two motorcycle cops pulled over that guy in California, and now we had, you know, the shooting in Pittsburgh. And what is the law as far as staying in, put in your vehicle in order to try to step out of your vehicle when you're being stopped?
Hmm. Brian, it's all going to be left up to the officer. Obviously, in Texas, you pretty much know who the commercial vehicle enforcement troopers are. One, they're going to be in a pickup, or they're going to be in the Tahoe. If one of those guys pulls you over, you might as well stay in the truck, because we're going to put you back in the truck to do the inspection anyway. If it's one of the state troopers that's driving a car, chances are getting out of the vehicle isn't going to make that big of a difference to them. Chances are you're probably going to have to go back and grab some paperwork that he's going to want to ask for you. So as far as I'm concerned, stay in the truck. Let him come up to you. If he wants you out, he'll flag you and tell you to get out.
Right. See, and then the incident in Dallas a couple of weeks ago with it, Officer Powell, I mean, you know, those people jumping out of the vehicle on him. I know that was an emergency situation, but yes, this party did run a light. Yes, they were headed toward a hospital, but all these people jumped out of the vehicle on this guy. So I just wonder if there's a law on that, and, you know, are we not thinking whenever we get stopped? I'm not speaking for just myself. I'm thinking as far as people in general, you know, in the city and on the highways, what they should know as far as jumping out of the vehicle when you're being stopped. I mean, this, to me, it seems like that's a big no-no, you know, anytime you're being stopped.
Most of the training that the law enforcement go through trains to watch the driver and observe any movement that he makes. When someone jumps out of the vehicle and starts making hasty movements, one, it's going to put law enforcement, it's going to raise their alertness way up above what it should be. One, because that's how officers get hurt, is when someone gets out of the vehicle.
Right.
So, you know, I always tell everybody, stay in the vehicle. If I want you out, or if another law enforcement officer wants you out, he'll tell you to get out. He'll motion for you and get you out of it.
Brian, thank you so much for the call. And getting back to his first question about emissions, was there any type of enforcement in Texas when you were doing commercial vehicle enforcement? Was there any type of enforcement of those emission standards? Was there anything that, just say that this truck's, you know, billowing black smoke?
No.
I know in California they have those types of standards, but is there anything here?
None that we enforced on the road.
Right.
I think the 2008 model vehicles had to go in, and when they got their annual safety inspection.
Right.
Then they did emissions testings on them.
Just like vehicles do.
Just like vehicles.
Yeah.
But as far as on road, no.
All right. 800-288-9227 if you want to get on board. We'll get to a break here. We also can take your text. If you want to send us a text, do it at 68683. Make sure you're safely pulled over to a place where you can safely text us. You put Eric or Gary on the text so it gets to us. 68683. We'll take your question. We'll take that question and put it on the air as well. Coming up here in just a bit, we'll be handing out some Justin Original work boots to random callers with the CDL. So if you want to get on board, you can do that at 800-288-9227. Gary, time for the hour news on the way in just a minute.
On Ask the Law on the Midnight Radio Network. It's the Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law. Gary and Eric,
And Senior Trooper Monty Dial, retired from the Texas Highway Patrol, answering your questions. You ask the questions at 800-288-9227. You can text us at 68683. Put Eric or Gary on the text so we get it. Again, 68683. And we want to let you know that the answers are up to date as of this morning, April 6, 2009, and can change without notice. And this show brought to you, as always, by R.J. Taylor and the entire crew. I mean, millions of people working for him there at askthelaw.org, Old Blue USA. Get on board at 800-288-9227.
Monty, I got a text. Do you have to take a truck driver's blood test at the scene of a fatal accident, and who oversees the actions of the troopers?
A lot of it is going to depend on whether or not law enforcement suspects the driver is operating under the influence of alcohol or drugs. If that's the case, then they will take the driver to, usually they'll take them to the hospital, someplace like that, and we'll have the blood drawn. If law enforcement doesn't suspect it, and the company is complying with the alcohol and drug testing as required by the DOT regulations, that's between the driver and the company as to where it happens.
Now, that's in the state of Texas, right?
That's nationwide.
That's nationwide? All right, so, there is nothing that's mandatory that if it's a fatal accident, you must draw the blood.
Only if law enforcement suspects the driver is operating under the influence of alcohol or drug at the scene.
Right. Okay. And do they take that blood? They don't take that blood at the scene, do they?
No.
They take it when they get back to...
Most of the time, if law enforcement, they will take the driver to a hospital and we'll have the hospital collect the sample of blood for them.
800-288-9227 or text us at 68683 on Ask the Law.
I don't think you want to mess around with the needles yourself.
Oh, no.
Wouldn't want that at all.
We got another trooper that's passed out on 183.
Let's go to Don on 61 in Mississippi. Don, hi, you're in the Midnight Radio Network and you're on Ask the Law. Hi, welcome.
Well, good morning, gentlemen.
Hey, good morning.
Trooper Don, could you please define me the 16-hour rule, please?
Good, Don. It's real easy. The driver has to start and stop from the same location during the six-day period.
Okay.
He can use the 16-hour exemption once during those 6 days or immediately following any 34-hour reset.
Okay. Like if I'm stuck in, like, Houston traffic and I'm at 10 and a half hours, and I get stuck in there, I'm still legal according to the DOT in order to get back to my safe haven if I start in Houston.
Yes, provided that you do that for 6 days in a row.
Okay. That's all I want to know. Thank you.
Thank you, Don. Appreciate that. We get that one from time to time, too. Because there's been confusion over the years, even before the hours of service rule changed the first time back in 2004, there had been some confusion over the rule that has been in existence since the beginning of time, really, for decades. And of course, with this 16-hour rule, we find that there's a lot of confusion as to when they can use that 16-hour rule.
Right. Well, the 16-hour rule really is a new rule that came about in 2005.
Right. With the current hours of service.
Right. With the current hours of service. And what they did was, and I don't mean to be using an example of one type of transportation mode, but typically I say it's for the LTL carriers.
Right.
But it's more for the local drivers that start and stop from the same location each day. They go out, they make their deliveries, and they come back. One time during that week, they are allowed to extend their day from a 14-hour day to a 16-hour day, which will enable them to get two more hours of work in.
Yeah. So and a lot of these exceptions have been contested by certain groups, and it looks like there's a new challenge, in fact, with certain groups on the hours of service rule. A lot of those groups your public citizens of the world and others believe that the Bush administration was forcing this and essentially forcing drivers to take on too much drive time in one day, too many hours of drive time. The Teamsters, again, are challenging the current hours of service rule. So it'll be interesting to see where we get that. And coming up in our second hour, in fact, I want to talk more about that and the challenges that we might face in the future with the hours of service, the Teamsters, public citizen, these groups that, again, want to change it. And why, until it becomes a real law, it's a rule. The hours of service is a rule until it actually becomes law through an act of Congress. We will likely see those challenges continue. Somebody's going to have a problem with it no matter what it looks like. But my concern now is now putting it through with Congress getting hold of it. I don't know what's worse, a group like Public Citizen challenging the current rule or Congress actually getting their hands on it and making it a permanent situation. And who knows what that would look like. More Ask the Law on the way, so stand by.